Welcome to worship from Westwood Church on this fourth Sunday of Advent. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my joy to welcome you into our midst as we gather in online space on December the 20th. Whether you're watching with us on Sunday morning or at some other time of the day or week, I want you to know that you are welcome. As a congregation, we are committed not only to welcoming but to celebrating the diversity of our community, including diversity of age, race, sexual orientation, and gender identity. We believe that God is present in a beautiful way with divine image in each of our lives and in the richness of our diversity. We hope that you'll participate along from home as much as you're able. There's a worship guide that you can download and either pull up on a device or print out. It will give you words to speak prayers with us and to sing our songs. Especially in this Christmas season, it's a joy to sing familiar songs that remind us not only of the warmth of feeling of God's love, but that share and speak aloud the power of transformation that God brings to the world through incarnation. In just a moment, we will process light into our sanctuary space, and then as we read the words of ancient prophets, light our Advent wreath. As we light candles in this space, we encourage you to light candles where you are, to join your heart to ours as we celebrate the gift of a love that arrives. May the peace of Christ be with you.
In a world full of hatred, indifference, and fear, When our power to destroy seems to rule the day, we claim liberating love in Christ's coming. As we prepare to light 4 Advent candles, we share these ancient words that Mary sang. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.
We light a candle of love. Mommy. Come, Jesus, come. Amen.
God of love, Fill us with your spirit of courage and liberty. When we are tempted by hatred, let us sow love. When we encounter hate, let us sow love. And when we witness or receive the gift of love, let us recognize your presence, leap for joy, and boldly, bravely, freely sow love all the more. Come, Jesus, come. Amen.
Love's Exquisite Freedom by Maya Angelou. We accustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness, until love leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives, and in its train come ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity in the flush of love's light. We dare be brave, and suddenly we see that love costs all we are and will ever be. Yet it is only love which sets us free.
Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Through the season of Advent, we've been using the poetry of Maya Angelou alongside our scriptures to help interpret the season, to help guide us as we look for what it means to be attentive to God's arrival this season of Advent. I've been so grateful for her poetry helping give word and form to the longings of my heart as we light candles, asking to be connected to God's hope and peace and joy and love. It's the poem we read this morning, the shared with us by video from our Grapple group. This poem gave us the phrase that's been an organizing phrase for our whole season. She gives us the good news. Love arrives. Love arrives into our world, changing everything. And this season of Advent, as we prepare for Christ's arrival at Christmas, we celebrate that love arrives not merely as a historical event from 2,000 years ago that changed our moment today, but as a continuing and ongoing gift that reminds us who God is and who we are in relationship to God. Love arrives here, into this place, into our separate places in this world today. Love arrives in this moment and into every moment of time. Love arrives into my life and your life and into the lives of every child of God, every person on earth. Love arrives, an ongoing and continual gift because of who God is and how God's grace works. Love arrives not because we have accomplished perfection, not because we have achieved its worth, not because we have lived without flaw. Love arrives because love is. It's a gift of God. We love because God first loved us, and that love changes everything. The words of the poem for this morning begin with images that resonate so deeply for me with this moment in the world. We, unaccustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness, she writes. And as I grieve that this is a year when I cannot celebrate in the presence and company of so many loved ones, I feel that shell of loneliness. But she continues, until love leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives, she declares. It liberates us into life. It gives us a different orientation to ourselves and this world. This is the gift of Christmas and the prayer I hold for you. The scripture that we shared this morning and gives us this encounter between the angel and Mary as Mary receives the news that she will bear the Christ child. She engages in conversation with the angel. She has questions, but she participates in what God is doing. And then she sings this magnificent song the Magnificat, about her soul giving glory to God, who in this birth will transform the world, will fill the hungry with good things, will lift up the lowly, will throw the proud out of their thrones. Mary understands that God is at work with a love that arrives and changes everything. The womanist preacher and scholar Monica Coleman writes about Advent expectancy, reminding us that though Mary has often been celebrated as an icon and model for all women, Mary simply at heart is saying yes to what God is calling her to be. Mary is authentically herself, doing the things she has to do and to live and to give to pursue God's calling, rather than being an oppressive model of what all women should be. Then Mary becomes an embodiment of what's possible when any one of us, whatever gender, say yes to what God is doing in us and through us to bring life and love to a world of isolation and brokenness and greed. Love arrives because we participate in the sharing of love. Throughout this season, we've been using images to help guide our prayer. They're on prayer stations here at the church along Wilshire Boulevard, and were printed on a Christmas card that was sent to the congregation. The images come from photographic pictures taken by Paul Jeffrey, a photojournalist who was a missionary connected to our congregation until his recent retirement, and who continues to work and take pictures. His photographs, taken in diverse places around the world over the last decade, depict women and children, but they've become, for our Advent meditation, holy icons of Madonna and Child. For me, they're a reminder that Christ's coming is not an event located only in the past, but one very much alive today that calls us to believe that our time, that these places, that our bodies are a location in which love comes still. Now, for the sake of divine love. So the pictures invite our meditation on love's arrival into this world in a woman lovingly carrying a baby across an international border seeking asylum as a refugee. Love arrives as a mother with a baby on her back tends a community garden attached to an AIDS hospital in Malawi, seeking a nourishment for her family and community and a different way of achieving well-being for her community. Love arrives in a mother who holds her baby as she casts a vote in an election in South Sudan. Love arrives in a woman who holds her baby as she writes on the chalkboard during a literacy class on Mindanao Island in the Philippines. Love arrives into our midst here and now as we embody the work of doing justice, of seeking life, of looking for liberty for all of God's children. We echo back Mary's song as we participate in the transformation that God continues to give to the world through the power of divine love. More than 40 years ago, the Reverend Mel Wheatley, former senior pastor of Westwood Church, wrote a book called Christmas is for Celebrating. He published it just a handful of years after he was elected bishop, and which is the time that he left Westwood Church in 1972. In the book, he taps into a cultural battle that continues to arrive even today. He says, "I hear people say they're afraid of losing Christ out of Christmas." But I, instead, he said, am afraid that we would lose Christ in Christmas. Afraid that in our elegant church celebrations, we would image and imagine the Christ child in such a revered and distant past that we would forget to perceive the Christ child who's born into this world now, in an actual child born in a hospital just down the street. And in this season of pandemic, as we think of the children continuing to be born, as we think of those seeking health care in the midst of such a time of disaster, we dare to claim and believe that love arrives here and now. And that love, as it demands everything of us, also offers us liberation and life. It requires an entire reorientation to our own identities and our belonging to one another. Divine love requires that we love an other, that we give love to God and to neighbor. We cannot experience it in isolation from one another. And so though we're physically separated this season, we're called to experience love's arrival even into those separate spaces and the power of that love to remind us of how we're connected to one another across that distance. It's that love's arrival that gives us courage to persist in doing whatever we can to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 and to seek the well-being of all. Love arrives and it offers us the invitation to hold love, to tenderly care for the vulnerable in our midst. And it also invites us to let ourselves be held in that gift of divine love, to imagine ourselves like the Christ child being held in arms of divine love that count us as precious and beloved. We need to be reminded over and over again that we are indeed beloved, that Christ's grace comes to us as we are, not hoping that we'll change so that we can merit that love, but here and now love arrives. It names us as precious and beloved and gives us an orientation of the heart that makes it possible for us to become a new kind of people. Because we've been loved, we have the courage to believe that our lives can make a difference, that we can let go of our fears and anxieties, that we can overcome our addiction, that we can stop patterns of violence against one another. Love arrives and gives us courage to face the prejudice we've been enculturated with, to acknowledge our own participation in systems that dispossess others of power. Love arrives into our midst and it gives us hope to believe that we have a unique gift to offer to God, a thing that can be born only through us, or that we can tend and help bring into this world to hold with arms of love in a way that ensures that love, that transformation, that life is available for others. This season of attentiveness to Mary and to the birth of the Christ child, since I've become a mother, makes me reflective of my own experiences in becoming a parent. I think of the many experiences I had in my life as a young parent with a young child to entrust him into the care of others. I don't know if it's because of sort of who I am or because of who Jonah is, or because it was convenient for me and helpful, or because it met the expectations of others, but we became accustomed very early on to having Jonah passed around the community. So when I'd meet someone somewhere in the community who looked at him with eyes of love, I would often ask if they would like to hold him. I have a vivid memory of traveling to a church meeting in North Carolina when he was perhaps 5 months old. And over the 3 or 4 days of that experience, I think I only ever held him when I was changing his diaper or feeding him or putting him to bed. At every other moment, he was in somebody else's arms. He became the child of the General Board of Church and Society, passed from person to person throughout the days of that meeting. What a gift it was to me as a young parent to know that and remember that he is not my child, but God's child, and that I have responsibility to care for him, but to get to do so in a big and beautiful community. I have one vivid memory of encountering someone in a coffee shop when he was maybe 3 or 4 months old. I met a young man who I knew through Strength for the Journey, a retreat for adults with HIV/AIDS. We had gotten to know each other in the same small group during camp the summer before. And so when I ran into him, it was a delight to catch up on what had been going on in his life and my life, and for him to look and see this beautiful child who I was carrying that day. I offered the thing that I offer to people. Would you like to hold him? And the look of surprise on his face made it clear to me that this was not a question he was familiar with or a posture that he was very used to. I don't know to this day whether it was emotions I was reading into his experience that came out of my own realization that I was handing my precious child into the arms of a man living with HIV, or if it was his experience of living in a community where HIV infection is stigmatized, unaccustomed to being asked to hold tiny babies. But in that moment, as I handed that child to him, I felt a holy presence of God around us, recognizing that I would always be offering this precious child into the care of a community, knowing that that community would hold and guide and shape him as a precious child of God. As I passed Jonah into his arms that day, I felt a blessing of grace that enfolded me in a reminder that I could be a part of trusting and finding, of giving and receiving, of sharing care not only of this child, but of every child. The gift of divine love as it's born into our world. And so I like to imagine every Christmas that we get to consider what it is to be like Mary and to be like the Christ child, to be those giving birth and those who are being reborn, to participate in the world-changing, life-changing, heart-opening power of love's arrival, to hold it in our arms or to be held in its arms, to know that love arrives in a way that we can hold and know and perceive, and that invites us to feel and participate in liberation that makes a difference for the world. This Advent, I pray that you would know the gift of love's arrival, that you would let it be one that changes you, that holds you, and that gives you space in your arms and life to hold the gift of love for others. May it be so. Amen. Thank you.
Here we are, God. We are here, peering from our shells of loneliness and fear straight into the face of pandemic, of loss, of death. And also here and now, your liberating love seeks us out and beckons us to move boldly into your light of love and hope. Like Mary, we sense your presence as well as the deep challenges your expansive love calls forth from us. And like Mary, we know your love is what gives us life. As we hear the ancient words recited by Mary, we take stock of the ways we fail your vision of love and justice. We see the growing multitudes of hungry people, of people without homes, of those languishing in prison because of unjust systems and bias, of families torn apart by racism at our border and throughout our nation. More than ever persistent, God, we need your love to strike away the chains of fear from our souls and wean us from our timidity so that your love might arrive within us and we be brave for you as we live out your vision. We look around and see signs of your love arriving in healthcare providers who heal in the face of death, in scientists who persist in finding vaccines, in protesters who keep before us the gulf of injustices that damage us all, in a friend who embraces our pain, in babies born and friendships upheld, in the impulse to help another and to give money to amazing causes and ministries. Oh God, your love does arrive in a multitude of ways, and we smile. Yes, you are here. You have so gifted us with hope and love and light, and we are blessed beyond measure for such treasure. God, we move from our shells of loneliness and fear straight into your unfathomable well of love and grace and light. We move from fear to hope, from being coiled to freedom, from clutching to giving, from despair to great love. Once again, oh God, by your faithfulness, you have shown us that love arrives again and again. and again and again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope you have felt the gift of love's arrival with you where you are in your home and life. And I hope you'll continue to connect into our church community during this season of Christmas. On Christmas Eve, we have two online worship opportunities. At 5 p.m., our virtual children's pageant and Christmas candlelight. And at 8 p.m., Christmas carols and candlelight will offer beautiful, transcendent, sacred celebration of this night from this sanctuary into your home. Both of those will happen on Facebook Live. They're Facebook events, so you can indicate that you're coming and easily share it with others, inviting others to join us. After each of the services, we invite you to join us on Zoom for a half-hour time of connection with others in the congregation so that we have a chance to wish each other Merry Christmas. You have to supply your own cocoa this year, but we hope you'll pour yourself a warm cup of cocoa or tea and log in so that we can connect with each other. I also want you to know it's not too late to make impact gifts through Scattered for Service, giving donations in lieu of gifts to loved ones. And it's not too late to come visit our in-person prayer stations here on the church property along Wilshire Boulevard near Warner. You can come by anytime, keep a safe distance from others, and experience those outdoor prayer stations. We'll continue in worship next Sunday and the Sunday after and the Sunday after. We invite you to connect into the life of our congregation and community, and we give thanks for your part in it. This morning, we have two prayer shawls, and I invite you to join me in praying over them. They are for two people who have shared their gifts so beautifully with us here at the church and in our sanctuary worship as section leader soloists. This purple shawl is for Shelby Stroud, and this orange and red one is for Shirley Ann Bellios. We pray for them in gratitude for their time with us as section leader soloists, and we pray for them now as they've gone back home to Texas and Massachusetts, grateful for the gift of music that God has given through them to the world. We pray, O God, that you would continue to bless and be with Shirley Ann and Shelby. We know how beautifully you have gifted them, and we pray in gratitude for who they are. Would you continue to guide and bless and fill each of them, that they may continue to follow your love into the world? We pray with gratitude and hope in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, as this time of worship comes to a close, I pray that you would continue to go, extending love into this world, to watch for signs of love's arrival into our midst, and to participate in it being born into our world. Be in peace. Amen.